Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, okay, like right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America. But some people are all, what about the strain on our resources? And it's like, when I had this garden party for my father's birthday, right? People came that, like, did not RSVP. So I was, like, totally bugging. I had to haul ass to the kitchen, squish in extra place settings, and, like, people were on mismatched chairs and all. But by the end of the day, it was, like, the more, the merrier. And so, if the government could just get to the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with the Haitians.
Wow. You guys talk like grown-ups.
Oh, well, this is a really good school.
Mr. Hall was way harsh. He gave me a C minus.
Well, he gave me a C, which drags down my entire average.
Hello? There was a stop sign?
I totally paused. You try driving in platforms.
Welcome to Rewatchability. It's the podcast where we rewatch old movies and view them through a modern lens. I'm Robert LaRonde. With me, as always, is
Blaine Waters.
And this week we have a very special guest, Grace Smith.
Hello.
Comedian. No?
Yes. No, so I don't know why I shook my head. No one can tell why you said no.
You seemed horrified.
I was like, no, try again. Maybe the next credit you give me will be right. Yes, comedian.
You do all sorts of things.
I do. And if I did one, it would probably I'd be better at it. But instead, I do lots of things.
I feel the same way.
Yes.
But I'm sure that you're great at everything. I saw there was a cat video. You do some cat videos
sometimes?
Yeah,
I have a web series right now called Things with Cats. There's two episodes. Maybe there'll be three by the time this comes out.
What happens in it?
It's sort of like we try to do like a YouTube DIY video, like a cooking or manicures or like a beauty vlog, but like how having a bunch of cat, like living with a bunch of cats affects that. So it's usually a lot of just like we end up eating a lot of cat hair or getting cat hair in the things we bake or spend most of the episode lint rolling things.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. I want to watch that. That's great.
Yeah, my cats are great actors.
Well, we have some great actors to talk about in this movie, but before we get to that, they are unfortunately not feline.
No.
But before we get into that, first of all, we should thank our Patreons. Those are the people who give us a little bit of money each month, $1, $3, or $5, and that helps keep the podcast going.
Yeah, we also put it right on the credit card with all that debt we've racked up at the mall. So
I thought Daddy was paying that off.
Oh, he might be. He might be.
You mean Dan Hedaya?
Yeah, that's right. I wish Dan Hedaya was paying off my credit card debt.
Yeah. He'd give you such looks about it, and you'd feel bad, but he'd pay it.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart on the inside.
Yeah, he'd just yell at you a while, and you wouldn't feel bad because you know he loves you, you know? Yeah.
But you or Dan Hedaya can go to patreon.com/rewatchability. Go there, and in return, you get the episodes early and ad-free. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is great.
Yeah, this is the only ad you'll hear.
Yeah.
Just us advertising ourselves.
This is more of like, is it like a telethon?
Can people call telethon? In?
It's a begging, I think. It's desperation. No, it's.
It wouldn't go over in the world of the movie that we're talking about right now, which is Clueless.
Yay.
And Grace.
Oh, no, I've spoiled how I feel about it.
That's okay. It's called foreshadowing.
Yeah.
You were the one who suggested this movie. What made you suggest Clueless?
There's a lot of movies that I could have suggested that I have very uncomplicated, just like I loved them relationships with. This one I had a very complicated relationship with it because I liked it a lot, but it was not on brand for me as a 10-year-old. I was really going for like a goth baby goth, anti-conformist right. sort of thing at 10 years old. And so when I saw this and really like was really far too into it,
right.
it was not on brand. So anytime somebody would bring it up, I'd be like, no, that movie is for...
I hate Alicia Silverstone. Yeah.
She's so pretty and her hair is so gorgeous and she had such great comedic timing. Oh, I hate her. So I would like... kind of like trash the movie at school and then go buy any piece of merchandise I could find for
wow.
it. Yeah. So that's why I just thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about.
We're confronting a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, this is a therapy
podcast. It is now.
Yeah.
So you loved it when you were young, but did you keep like watching it? Did you eventually sort of come to terms with your love of Clueless?
I think this might be my coming to terms with my love of Clueless. Because like there are movies, I was a big also rewatcher of movies.
Right.
So this is a great podcast for me. I will be taking it over
Ooh,
at okay. the end. So you
great.
Can pack up your things. No, like I rewatched movies incessantly, but not this one again because I was sort of embarrassed that I liked it.
Right.
Like even embarrassed to tell my parents I would like to rent it again. Whereas I was not embarrassed to tell them I would like to rent Chicken Run for the 100th time.
That was also on your suggestion list.
Yeah, that was a close second in our picking. Yeah.
I don't know how that was more on brand, but it was complicated. Yeah, so like I didn't rewatch it that much, but I loved it. I remember saving up for any magazine that like had an article about
wow.
it, but I didn't rewatch it that much. So it was really, really fun actually to rewatch it and see how many jokes I didn't get.
Okay.
Oh, when you were 10?
Yeah. So like I was just like,
right.
I did not know what... this scene was about or this like
yeah,
oh my
yeah,
god
yeah
sure.
I can't wait to talk about all the scenes I didn't understand
when
yeah.
they square the whole brother it. Thing that was we'll talk about that we will
yes,
talk about that
talk
after
about
the after
that.
The break for
I
sure
I
but.
Expect will be most of
it I'm clueless about how that is supposed to be okay. Now Blaine, what about you? I see you're excited. What is your vast history with Clueless? Don't be embarrassed.
I, at 10 years old, no, I never saw this movie because it wasn't really marketed to me
right.
you know, as a young boy.
Yeah.
But my wife loves this movie.
Right.
And she was like, you better be having a girl on your podcast. For yeah, we will. But,
so we looked up all the girls we know.
But I can call her when we're done recording, assure her
right,
that
exactly.
I exist. And
thank you.
On the episode.
Thank you very much.
No
I
problem.
Need you to sign something.
Yeah.
But, I watched it with her like a while ago for the first time.
Right.
I'd never really seen it before.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. I think it's. I thought it was a great movie when I first watched it a few years ago. I think it's a good movie now.
So you did watch it a few years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did you think about it? So did you watch it with your wife under like with her like holding your hand too tightly?
It was
looking
the same,
over at you constantly.
It was the exact same thing that I did to her with like Hudsucker Proxy.
You know? Oh, but that's a good one.
Just like mouthing all the words.
They're talking fast, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you get it? It's a circle. And she's like, oh fuck, what is this? I liked it and it does feel like you were saying that it was kind of, you were kind of anti-conformist at 10 years old, which is awesome, by the way, but that you didn't like this movie because of it. But this movie kind of undercuts itself in a lot of ways. And when I watched it a few years ago, I really liked that because when I was a kid, I thought it was just like, oh yeah, that like girl movie, kind of like
right.
that Barbie movie or whatever. But it is a way smarter than I ever thought it was as a kid. So
yeah,
it
how it marketed itself was a little deceiving. Like, but it's
right.
I mean, it's hard in a commercial to be like, this is kind of a satire, but kind of not a satire. But it is right. smarter than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, just have Alicia Silverstone come on screen to say that. But it's like not a satire, but it like yeah, it would be good.
Wow.
So what about you, Rob? When did you first see it?
Well, like you, Blaine, I did not see Clueless. I, too, was, it wasn't marketed towards me. No fault of mine. No, I mean, obviously it was towards women and girls, and I totally dismissed it 100% for most of my life. When I became a bit older, I heard women that I respect saying that they enjoyed this movie. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, well, it's probably a good movie. And I also heard somebody say, and I'm not sure this quite squares, but like, Clueless is to girls like Star Wars is to boys.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, I mean, girls can like Star Wars too, and I'm sure there are lots
no,
of boys.
No, we're actually not.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll this is confidential, but we'll be fined if I express.
But it sort of made sense to me, like, just because that's how things are marketed. Like, you just accept what you are given as a kid. You think it's cool. And unless there's something else, then you don't really give
So this is
chance.
The first time you've seen it?
This is the first time that I
Before this,
Clueless.
You were...
I was, in
Clueless.
Fact, clueful.
I'm so happy that I brought this.
I'm happy, too. I mean, also, like, I already respect Amy Heckerling as a writer-director. Of course, she directed Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a big, epic, classic movie. Also, when I was growing up, I loved Look Who's Talking 1 and 2, which are so good.
This could have also been an episode, but I made my parents watch those movies so many times and they hated them so much. But they're great.
They are great. I mean, we've done the first one on the podcast.
Yeah, I think we have.
And I think it holds up. And, you know, I think just in terms of like auteurs of the 80s and 90s, Amy Heckerling is one of the big ones. So once I realized that she was the person behind this movie, I thought, yes, I should give Clueless a chance. And I'm glad that you gave us the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
She also, let's give Amy Heckerling credit for introducing me to two of my most unfortunate music tastes, which is from Look Who's Talking, The Beach Boys,
right.
From that opening spring, which I didn't understand what that was about either as a child, and from Clueless, ska.
Oh, the Mighty Mighty Boston.
Yes.
See, I like ska.
I literally wrote down a note, what happened to ska? It was great.
It like became pop punk and then fizzled out. Yeah.
But their suits are great.
Their suits are great.
That song slaps. Like, that's,
He's like kind of yelling it, gravel voiced into the microphone.
The front man scared me. I don't What's with all the trombones in the background?
What's with that one guy who's just dancing?
Good question.
Then there's a scene in the movie where he like looks like he almost fell off stage, but they kept the cut because he has this like worried face on for a second. Yeah. He's like, and then he like sees the camera, he's like, good, and he's on dancing.
Everything's fine. This won't end up in the movie.
Exactly.
He watched it in the theaters and was like, really hurt that they left that in.
All the Boston's fans have like a conspiracy theory about that, though.
Yeah, it really took them down a peg. They're only the Mighty Boston's now. So, Rob, do you want to take us through this movie?
That was terrible. way to divert away from your terrible joke. Yes.
Let's move on.
Clueless, it is the story of Cher Horowitz, played by Alicia Silverstone. She is a rich Beverly Hills high school girl. She is rich. Her dad is like a $500 an hour litigator, played by the aforementioned Dan Hedaya.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she lives the life of a typical teenager. She goes to school. She has friends. Her friend is Dion, Stacey Dash.
In the 90s, the high schools were either like nothing bad happened at them at all, or their teachers were trying to kill you. Like, there was no in between.
Yeah, there was only like Beverly Hills High School and Dangerous Minds. No in between.
Yeah, exactly.
They were all pretty sexy, but either dangerous sexy or Noxzema commercial sexy.
Yeah, and they do the old people for young people in this movie so much. There's one guy who comes up to her at school at one point and is clearly
liver spots.
Yeah, he's clearly like 60 years old. He's like Hans Molman from The Simpsons.
Yeah, if you really watch for like the extras that have one line, they are full 40-year-old men.
Yeah, I feel like they're just all the producers on the movie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just put them in some baggy jeans and send them in there. No one will notice. They're all looking at a young Brittany Murphy.
Right.
And weren't we all?
But she has some good skills that she has gleaned from her father in that she can talk her way out of anything, any bad mark. It seems like she has the skills to turn it around. Very valuable skills, except that she's having a hard time initially with some of her teachers, one of them played by Wallace Shawn.
Wallace Shawn.
Yeah.
So good to see
he's
him.
So good in this.
He is amazing.
Yeah, he's great. And
he has such moves.
Yeah.
Like, when he starts getting a little romantic, you see him, like, fixing his hair at his desk and stuff like that. You're like, yeah, I can see why she goes here.
All right. Yeah. We found a thing for Wallace Shawn on this podcast.
I mean, like, the conformist girls went for Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Us baby goths went for Wallace Shawn.
Cher Horowitz, two tardies.
I object. Do you recall the dates of these alleged tardies?
One was last Monday.
Mr. Hall. I was surfing the Crimson Wave. I had to haul ass to the ladies.
I assume you're referring to women's troubles, and so I'll let that one slide.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. This Geist was right about you.
What do you mean?
Well, she said that you were the only one in this school with any intelligence.
But, so she, being the resourceful person that she is, she decides to set up this teacher with another teacher, played by the terribly named Twink Kaplan.
Sorry, what's it? Say it again?
Her name is Twink Kaplan.
Okay, great.
Now, I don't know why I thought, because I was looking up actor names before this, I don't know why I thought that was Amy Heckerling for, like, years.
No, I thought the same thing.
Really?
That was like, I wrote down Amy Heckerling cameo, and then I looked, and it's like, who the fuck is Twink Kaplan?
What I want to know
that must be the guy playing Christian.
Who told both of us?
No.
Yes.
No.
But who told both? Where did we both get this from? Because what a weird.
Yeah.
There must be. Because I feel like I remember seeing it in a documentary or something about, like, I feel like the source was official.
Well, I think that, like, I feel like maybe Twink Kaplan is the surrogate for Amy Heckerling, because she's also in Look Who's Talking. She plays the friend of Christy Alley.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But she hooks up those two teachers and uses it to get her mark changed.
Yeah, it does work in the end.
It works.
Well, Sean says it won't work, but he caves.
Yeah.
And then they get married. Spoilers. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but hopefully if you watch this movie. But yeah, it works. It works, like, surprisingly well. She just throws a little Shakespeare. Or what is the poem that she, that Cher writes?
Yeah, I assumed it was Shakespeare.
Yeah.
No. And Cliff Notes,
I'm going to feel bad.
To
yeah, exactly.
Movie, which is also not a joke I got at the time. There's so many times I remember watching this movie as a kid and being like, wow, Cher is so smart. And now I'm like, oh, I see the joke is that she was not.
Yeah, but then she
but
is.
She, like, is,
that's
kind of.
It's such a funny thing, because when Brittany Murphy comes, she's like, you guys all speak good and stuff. And Claire's like, yeah, it's a good school, which was one of my favorite jokes.
Y'all talk like grown-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, but they walk a really fun, like, tightrope of making it clear that they are smart. They're just young. Like, they they make mistakes, and they're just inexperienced, but that they will probably all grow into, like, smart adults.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, she understands all the systems in the school and how they work and how everyone interacts. Like, she's a smart cook.
Yeah. Even her, like, debates that are supposed to be kind of, like, clearly she did not research them are still, like, not bad. Like, she's very confident.
Yeah. That's really all it took in high school. Once you realize if you were confident, you didn't have to really do anything.
Yeah, I wish I knew that in high school.
I saw other people do it.
Yeah.
Good trick. But she gets, like, a little bit of a boost from doing a good deed, and she decides to sort of go on a roll with it. And that's why when Brittany Murphy's character, Ty, comes to the school, she decides to sort of befriend this misfit.
This clueless person who comes in.
That's where the title of the movie comes in, because
I just got that this time. Yeah,
getting, making a note. Notebook.
See, my mission is clear. Would you look at that girl? She is so adorably clueless. We've got to adopt her.
Cher, she is toe up. Our stock would plummet.
Dee, don't you want to use your popularity for a good cause?
No.
Come here. Yeah, come here. Hang with us.
Oh, thank you.
How do you like California?
Man, I'm freaking. I could really use some sort of an herbal refreshment.
Oh, well, we do lunch in 10 minutes. We don't have any tea, but we have Coke and stuff.
No shit, you guys got Coke here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is America.
Yeah, but they all, I think what's nice about this movie is that they all have their clueless moment. They all have their moment where they're just like, you know, dipshits.
The real clueless is the friends. But Brittany Murphy obviously is great in this. Though she, like, it's hard to recognize her at
first.
Yeah,
she looks so, like, this is so clearly, like, her first or one of her first big roles. So
I think,
like,
it was her first role.
Like, this is going to sound mean, and I don't mean it as that, but it looks like before Hollywood made her lose weight.
Right.
And I mean that just because she looks, like, she is already very skinny. But
and the dye job, too. Like, she gets that, like, straight blonde hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does look like, oh, this is clearly like a regular human teenager that they put into this movie. And then clearly whatever she was in next, I don't remember what they were clearly like, oh, no, for Hollywood, like, let's get all that fat out of your face. But it's sad to see that because you're like, oh, Hollywood got to you.
Yeah.
The conformists got to you.
Yeah.
Claire and Hollywood, both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. We also forgot to mention that Cher is sort of having to interact with her former stepbrother, Josh, who is played by the youthful vampire Paul Rudd.
He looks exactly like – I know this is already
it's kind of it's a joke, but you know, like, we're not the first ones to make it.
No.
But it's scary.
This is unrelated to this movie. Do you think Paul Rudd has had work done?
Oh.
Somebody in this room is not.
Yeah, he's probably had like hair plugs or something like that. I think Paul Rudd has like a horseshoe hair.
But he was in high school when he did this movie, right?
Yeah.
No, he was out of college.
Was
like,
he?
He was the oldest one in the cast except for Stacey Dash. Yeah.
Okay. Who was also like a youthful vampire.
Yeah.
But that's because she's evil.
Yeah.
That's where she got that from.
She's
Whereas Paul Rudd,
blood.
Who knows? But yeah, like I suspect that I think he's had some fillers.
Ooh.
I'm saying it on air. I'm going on record. I do think
Grace is spilling the tea.
Yes, yeah.
That's what that means, right?
Drag Race. What are you doing? That's great.
I just saw it on the internet.
Okay. I read on Know Your Memes, Urban Dictionary.
I actually spilled some tea. It's really hot.
Ow. No, because I just don't think people look for work done in men. So I think he could probably get away with it because no one's gonna assume that. No one's looking for the little like scars hidden in his 5 o'clock shadow.
Where are you, Paul Rudd?
Let's pull up some high res photos of Paul Rudd and look for those Botox injection sites. But he's so beautiful in this.
With kind of like, because he gets a goatee at one point.
It is unfortunate.
That looks bad on him.
I'm glad that it goes away almost immediately.
Yeah. Right. Like someone watched the dailies and were like, no.
Paul Rudd from the future came back.
Exactly. They couldn't tell them apart. It was
and then was in the movie because he looks exactly.
Oh my God.
He's like this. This is the other reason I like this movie a lot. I was lying about the Wallace Shawn crush earlier. I did have a crush on Paul Rudd. He was not, I won't say my first sex dream, but my first like
recurring.
I was 10, didn't really know what sex was, but like sexy dream.
Right.
I remember it was like. I won't go into details, but I do remember him saying, like, we have to keep this quiet from the paparazzi. They won't like me being in a relationship with, like, a 10-year-old from Canada, wow. Which fair.
Just a 16-year-old on screen. That's fine.
He's supposed to be college or, like, about to start college.
19,
right.
Yeah, he's 19, 20, yeah, yeah.
Still wouldn't have been okay. Dream Paul Rudd was correct about that.
Yeah. But so they make over Ty. They sort of get her to be more confident and, you know, all of that stuff. And
to reject this skater boy.
Yeah. Oh, they make her say, see you later, boy. And then Avril Lavigne wrote a song about it.
And that's how we all know what Clueless is from that song. But yeah, because like that's the other thing that I don't feel like I super got at the time this movie was like Ty's not like just a mess. She's just a pothead like that. Yeah. She comes in with a kind of fully formed identity.
Yeah. Mm.
That was like an identity in all high schools. Like it existed. Mm-hmm. She could have totally just gone and fit in with Travis's group. But instead, they're like, no, she clearly just has no idea.
Oh, they sort of kidnap her.
Yes.
And then Cher, like wards off this guy who, you know, is clearly they like each other.
He's such a sweetheart.
I know. He's like the nicest guy.
And they clearly like legitimately get along.
Yeah.
Like he's so enamored with her immediately. It's so cute. That first scene where they meet. Mm-hmm. And she's showing him her, like, sketchbook. Yeah. And he's just, like, looking at her like, oh, you're the best person I've ever met. It's such a cute little meet-cute that then Cher ruins immediately. Mm-hmm.
Because she wants him to date Elton. Oh, yeah. Jeremy Sisto.
He's that like brother from
6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 A lot of sibling issues throughout.
But he's, you know, I mean, he always plays like a problematic character.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was trouble, even though I hadn't seen
this movie. He's the true villain of this film. Two times I wrote down that God, Elton is the worst, is when he's singing in the car, like sexily at Cher. Yeah. I know I'm getting ahead in the plot. And that he also says.
It's just so awkward. It's such an awkward, weird scene.
And she also is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he says the line that, you know, if someone says this in a movie, they're also supposed to be the villain. You're one of my best friends, and I do not have friends that are girls. Oh, you're a murderer.
Yeah, I'm also sure that his character was the one responsible for getting the Muddy Muddy Boss tones at that party, which just reprehensible, reprehensible.
And he promised them a lot of money to appear. He didn't pay that. No,
he just paid them in fedoras. Awful.
Two-tone shoes. Scott sucks.
Sorry, you
yeah, and he like sexually assaults Cher in the car, right? Like,
yeah.
And is kind of doing it the whole movie, except she,
right.
She is not. No, like he.
Well, it's just sort of like typical, like what girls have to deal with, shit that boys do.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
touching them and grabbing them in class.
It's so egregious watching it now. Like, yeah. I do think it's not like one of those times where you watch an old movie and it's supposed to be like funny. Like, clearly,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
supposed to be him being a creep.
She calls it sexual assault later, right?
Yeah.
Like, the scene after, so.
But like even like all these scenes of him like hugging her way too close and like him in the suck and blow at the party, like trying to kiss her. But you're just like, oh, you've been the villain all along. And just like kind of just like hovering in the side, just like with like lingering hugs and probably like smelling her hair.
He's so good at being hateable, though.
Oh, he's the worst. Yeah.
So then the sort of main thing of the movie is that Ty sort of becomes a little bit popular, and she decides that she likes Josh. And
because he's Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Right.
That every female
she doesn't decide. Her ovaries decide for her.
Yeah. Biology decides.
Oh, I feel gross now.
Yeah, because she almost gets murdered at the mall, right?
Oh, that seems horrifying.
Oh, yeah, these guys like dangle her over the side like they're shaking her down for her rent.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on?
I forever, like since then, have had a phobia of those kind of
railings.
Like, my school had those stairwells where you'd have those railings. And it was like three stories up. But people used to sit on them. And I was always like, guys, did we not learn anything from Clueless? But it is horrifying,
yeah.
And it is, like, the movie does a pretty good job of, like, showing that not just Elton, but, like, high school boys are kind of the true villain. Like, that there's, like, there's some nice ones, like Travis and stuff. But
a
like,
lot of them are sociopaths.
Yeah, they're such sociopaths for most of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they should all, like, probably smoke some pot and, like, calm down. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Way ahead of the game.
But Cher is confused at why she's upset that her friend likes her ex-stepbrother. And then she realizes that she loves her ex-stepbrother.
Yeah.
And please, that's weird.
Never use the character's name ever again. Call him her ex-stepbrother for the rest of this
I'm just
podcast.
Trying to create some distance because I feel very uncomfortable.
Well, it's so weird because throughout the movie they do little things to distance him as the stepbrother. She's like, well, you haven't been around in a long time and like you're just back and like we didn't grow up together and they say all that stuff. But then at one point he says something about like, well, I'm not really your brother. And she's like, you're my dad's son. Like she like makes it very apparent that they're siblings really early.
There's
so it's
some
a very
mixed
weird
signals. Yeah. Like there is like the scene before the last scene in which they're kind of being flirty right before her realization when they were watching Ren and Stimpy. She does like there
famous
is a
aphrodisiac.
Which she calls way existential, and I agree. But she does like in that scene, it's so blatant. She's like, you're not my brother. And like it's just a line of dialogue in that scene. Like they're like, okay, we're prepping, we're getting people ready.
This is legal. And like, what's going on here?
Yeah, but husband number four is at home, and his whole idea of acting like a family is to criticize me.
So what, you're just gonna roam around campus for 2 weeks all by yourself?
I don't mind.
That is stupid. Why don't you just come here? You can have your old room, and there are gonna be some great parties.
No.
Why not?
You got your whole social world going on. I don't want to get in the way.
You won't be in the way.
how much fun would it be having a brother type tagging along?
Josh, you are not my brother.
Look, you know what I mean.
Come on, you need some excitement in your life. It'll replenish you for your finals.
It is weird because I think they're trying to make kind of two points with this character, both of which are fine, but like weird in the same character. One, they're trying to make like the dad's character says something like, you divorce wives, not kids, which is kind of a nice message of like,
sure,
just because I divorced your mom, like I was still a father. It
takes a village.
It takes a village of angry
lawyers. It takes one Dan Hedaya.
That's the only parent I would have needed, which is a nice message. But also, you can't have that message. And also, you're not my brother because we're step siblings and you weren't around much. Like those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't balance.
Yeah. It's tricky. It's some tricky stuff.
It's like, yeah, we want to show the dad's kind of a good guy, but we also want her to want to fuck her brother. How can we do this?
It's a little awkward. It's a little awkward in this movie.
I did have to look away in their kissing scenes this time watching it. Like,
really?
I was like, wow, this, I'm so
uncomfortable. They're not actually related.
I know, but I
Alicia Silverstone is not actually Paul Rudd's stepsister.
Method acting, they did adopt each other as siblings.
We actually made our parents get married for
and
1 year.
And then divorced. Christmas is weird.
Yeah. But Cher goes to help out at the relief effort thing.
Right.
And, you know, she starts to sort of like become okay with Breckenmeyer as a person. Though she, I mean, he, this part boggles my mind. He seems to have quit weed.
Yeah.
And that's seen as like a good thing.
Well, it's, again, another scene I did not understand because he's like donating all of his old bongs.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, again, did not know what those were.
I mean, if you have new bongs.
And then he refers to a 12-step program, which I was like, okay, maybe I just don't know a lot about quitting weed. But is there a 12-step for, like,
I think you just kind of put it down.
Yeah. I think you're
I
like,
think it's not
I need to go to work now.
I think you take one step away, take two steps back.
Yeah, it's weird.
Grab
that
your shit.
The Al-Anon thing with the weed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think they just wanted, I don't know.
They wanted him to be all right to be with.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's all right smoking weed.
He was fine.
It's
he was
legal
the only
now.
Nice man in the movie. Yeah.
It's probably what made him nice. Let's be honest.
And they have that whole thing about him apologizing for her shoes, which also wasn't a thing I think any viewers were really mad at him for.
No.
I wasn't. Like it.
I wonder if like
yeah,
a bunch of people
moment.
In Beverly Hills went, at that moment.
Or maybe it was just one of those like studio things where like, no, you have to show that him smoking weed was bad. Like you have to.
Yeah, probably.
Well, it was like 1995. They were pretty war on drugs back then.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, and war on sex, too. Like, it was like everyone was a virgin. The people that weren't were like, well, maybe you should be.
Like,
yeah. It's funny because I feel like you can really see the kind of fingerprints of Amy Heckerling being so okay with all this stuff, being so okay with people who are or are not virgins, who do or do not smoke pot, but then kind of having to have like a little statement, like a little lesson at the end or something.
It
like
never
that.
Feels like the character is saying the words when they're like doing those things. Like that guy being like, yeah, I quit weed.
And skateboarding.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a whole different person, whoever you want me to be.
And it's kind of sad because Claire does view him as a whole different person.
You say Claire? Cher.
Yes.
Okay, who's Claire?
But
the fan fiction that you wrote for Clueless features Cher's cousin Claire, a new girl at the school.
Who looks exactly like Cher.
But she, you know, she only accepts him after that. That's kind of sad, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then at the end of the movie, the teachers get married and they're all at the wedding, which I find kind of weird.
Yeah.
She's a bridesmaid.
Did anyone go to their teacher's wedding in high school?
Oh, I went to all of them.
I house sat for my professors in undergrad one time.
Okay, that's cool.
That's the closest. And it's not that close.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess in the world of the movie, we want to believe that they all get along and, you know. Yeah.
Right.
And the joke about, like, the sneak of, like, you thinking it's her and Paul Rudd getting married and it's not.
Right,
is kind
right.
of funny. Like,
yeah.
Her just being like, gross, no.
But then she does catch the bouquet so that, you know, Paul Rudd can win $200 or something like that.
Yeah, he had a bet on it.
Good. Yeah, sure he did.
He just wanted to cinch that.
Wait, what's your theory here?
Well, I don't know. It seems like, that's
put a
right.
ring on it. That's what he's doing. Yeah.
Seems abusive. That's what I'm saying. Paul Rudd, first facial fillers.
How often has he lied to us?
He might not even be Ant-Man.
What? So is your theory that, like, he just really wanted to lock this down? And he's like,
I mean, I don't think that he had a theory for his character. I just think that, you know, it gives the movie motivation for, you know, them to have, like, a big girly moment at the end.
True.
And that's it.
Yeah, but they mentioned Shakespeare a lot, and I think
who?
This movie. And, you know, you have to end with that comedy thing of a wedding in every Shakespeare play, right?
That's right. So
you
have to, it's either that or you have to end up with everyone dead. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That would have been a weird twist. The mugger shows back up. I'm not finished.
Also, the most polite mugger.
Yeah.
I liked him. I liked him a lot.
Like, she's really given him sass back, and he's patient.
Yeah. I think he says thank you and sorry at multiple times
you
during the interaction.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
The real hero of this movie, the mugger. But that's Clueless. Mm-hmm. And we have more to talk about after the break. We'll have the trivia and the behind-the-scenes stuff right after this. Blaine, do you hear that? Bells. It's jingle bells. It's Christmas.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were having a stroke.
No, I'm not, but thank you for knowing the signs. Next week, we're going to talk about one of our favorite Christmas movies, The Family Man.
Rob, I have to admit something to you. I went along with it. I told you it was my favorite Christmas movie. I've never seen this movie.
Okay, well, for Christmas, the gift that I'm giving you is we're going to talk about The Family Man. It's a movie where Nicolas Cage plays a guy who, like, goes through alternate realities to a reality where he has a family, man.
Sounds like the worst quantum leap ever.
But it stars Nicolas Cage, who, as we know, is amazing. So it's going to be a great performance, and Tia Leone is there, and that's I think it will be the best gift under your tree.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Rewatchability. We are talking about Clueless, and we have Grace Smith here.
Hi, it's me again, remember, from the first half.
It's been about 30 seconds, so everyone might have forgotten.
People have memory problems, okay? So I have the trivia for you both, Blaine. You know how this works. Grace, these are going to be a real test of your education.
Oh,
so
no.
So watch out.
Hope you went to a good high school.
Ooh, it was in Halifax, so...
Oh, really?
Nope.
Sweet. None of these questions are about fish.
I should just go.
I'm sorry. That was awful. What's a stereotype you can make about Ontarians?
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm from Nova Scotia. I know lots.
We're think selfish.
They're the center of the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know any good jokes about Halifax.
That second one is particularly scathing.
Thank you. Okay, so some of these are pretty easy because Blaine.
Ouch. Okay.
So, first of all, Alicia Silverstone, the star of this movie, plays Cher. This was her breakout feature film role. But before this, she found fame in a series of music videos by which rock band? And can you name one of those songs?
The impression that I get. I'm done. I know that's right.
I know it's Aerosmith, right?
Right?
But I don't remember the name,
okay.
Name of the song.
Well,
I know that she was like, it's like she and Liv Tyler are like, I remember we're in one of the videos together.
Yeah.
Do I get bonus points?
You do. You do.
Yeah.
She was in like 3 friggin' Aerosmith videos. They were all like called Crying or Crazy or Amazing Crazy. Which I'm stealing from a Saturday Night Live joke from the 90s. But that was her first thing. And I remember seeing them all the time on pop-up video.
Yeah.
And they were very disturbing because in most of them, it would have, like, Alicia Silverstone doing, like, softcore lesbian makeout stuff with Steven Tyler's daughter.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you... It's the fact that she was in so many that you're just like, oh no, Steve Tyler, what was going on in your head? I mean, I know exactly what was going on in your head, but what a weird open obsession. Like how, I'm just remembering how much before, like, the current day and age, rock stars felt like, no, it's fine if everyone knows how creepy I am. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, like everything.
Yeah. These
young girls around musicians, yeah.
Yeah. And I like the weirdest thing about that is that I feel like Steven Tyler had found out that Liv Tyler was his daughter like 2 years before that.
What? I didn't know this.
Yeah, because she spent the first part of her life believing that her dad was Todd Rundgren, who is another 70s rock guy, but who's not as creepy as Steven Tyler.
Oh, God.
So she found out, was like, uh-oh. Oh, no.
Anyway, that's Alicia Silverstone's early career. But she obviously did, you know, this brought her great fame and attention. Mm-hmm. Though, I mean, her career also went bad after Batman. She sort of never really recovered the same way after that.
Yeah, I remember she had her, like, it was like she was such a star after this. And I remember, like, there being all these news stories about she had her own production company immediately. It was a huge deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know if this is going to be one of the trivia, so sorry if I'm spoiling something.
Oh,
but
my
then,
God.
The first thing that her production company produced was, like, Excess Baggage.
Right.
That
right.
did so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing ads for it and then hearing nothing.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah.
How was it?
I think it was okay.
I had the poster.
I just remember seeing ads for it in 17 Magazine constantly.
Yeah.
And
well, you didn't ruin my trivia question.
Oh, good.
I don't know. We'll find out. So question the two, which Clueless star had a stint as a mouthpiece for Fox News and was even suspended for 2 weeks for saying, from Fox News, for saying Obama doesn't give a shit about terrorism?
Paul Rudd.
That's right. Paul Rudd, secret conservative.
Stacey Dash.
You are correct.
Yes.
Yeah, Stacey Dash. I mean, one of the most visible faces, I think, currently from this movie. Mm. She is kind of a shithead Republican.
Yeah, there's like a lot of YouTubers going after her right now.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, doing a lot of essays on her.
What?
Yeah.
About what?
Oh, just like that, being a shithead Republican.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, was it, what was that awards show where they brought her on to say Happy Black History Month? Was that the, like, Emmys or Oscars or something?
Ugh.
I just remember it being such a weird moment.
Yeah, I think it might have been, I can't remember, but I know that she, like, denounced Black History Month. It might have been on BET that she did that, and she also said that BET was lying to people about stuff.
She really took a turn I don't think any of us were expecting.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem to be going well for her.
You know what's a weird thing I do when I watch really old movies? And there's like, specifically when there's two people playing a couple. So like obviously her and like Donald Faison would have
right.
had like a lot of scenes together. I always will watch and be like, what does he think about all this?
He's just like sitting there in his scrubs being like, Zach, I don't know about this.
Every time she does something new, he calls Zach. She's at it again.
You wouldn't believe what Stacey's saying, but Obama.
Zach Braff's voicemail archive is just so many messages from Donald Faison being like, hey, buddy, sorry to call again. I know this is their message today. Stacey's, she's up to some shit again. Anyway, call me when you get this.
Yeah. Third question. This one is the hard one.
Ooh.
This one you'll really have to know your shit for, and I'm not joking. Which Clueless actor wrote the song on which the movie Earth Girls Are Easy is based on, and also starred in that movie with Jim Carrey, Jeff Goldblum, and Damon Wayans?
Whoa, which actor?
I have an. Is it Julie Murphy?
You're. I mean,
she was in that, wasn't she?
The last name isn't right.
It's not Murphy. Oh, Julie Murray. Julie. It was. Is it with an M?
Starts with a B.
Wow. Good job.
I thought you said Julie. I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah,
good.
That's close.
Yeah. What is her last?
It's Julie Brown.
Julie Brown. Why did I think Murphy? I don't know why. But she was the PE teacher, right?
Brittany Murphy.
That's why.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah, she plays the PE teacher. Yeah, she has had a really interesting career.
So she wrote the song that Earth Girls Are Easier is based off of?
That's right. And yeah, and then they made it into a movie, her and her husband, Terrence McNally. They did it together. She plays, I think, the lead female role. Obviously, Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, and Damon Wayans get sort of first billing on that. But I thought it was really interesting. And also, she did, all throughout the 80s, she did like Weird Al-esque parody songs, really? Which is sort of where the Earth Girls Are Easy came from.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm going to have to look her up. We should like post one of her songs.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
I don't know about the song thing. I was like, I remember thinking, like, looking her up on IMDb after watching this and just, like, because she only has, like, 2 minutes in this movie, mm-hmm. but she's very funny.
Yeah.
And, like, and so I was like, oh, yeah, was she, and trying to figure what I knew her from. And then, like, oh, she was in that as well.
Yeah.
But clearly it only took 12 hours for her last name to leave my brain.
Yeah. Well, it's a, she's, her name is so generic that there's another Julie Brown who, she had a show on MTV who also had an MTV show, and the other Julie Brown had to be distinguished by being Downtown Julie Brown, presumably making this Julie Brown Uptown Julie Brown.
Which, honestly, if you're going to be one of the Julie Browns, I'd rather be Uptown.
Yeah, that's right. Real estate's better. So this was, I mean, obviously, Amy Heckerling conceived of and directed this film. She'd already directed Look Who's Talking, mm-hmm. and so she was a big name. She had all the power to do this. She based it off of a book. Trivia question. Do you know what book this is based off? Blaine?
No, I don't.
Grace?
Emma Jane Austen.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
But of course, it does, as many teen movies did, it has the modern twist. Mm-hmm. So Amy Heckerling actually, in a very like Cameron Crowe fashion, went not undercover, but she sat in on classes at Beverly Hills High School to sort of like get the language.
Right. I mean, it comes through.
The language in this is so good. Like, there's so many just, like, subtle jokes or, like, terms like the calling hot guys Baldwins and stuff like
right.
that, which doesn't work as well today.
No.
That joke aged badly.
Like a Christian fundamentalist?
Yeah. Or refer it, like, the idea of the Monet, the girl who looks good from far away and not close up, is, like, very mean.
Yeah.
But, like, still a term that I think of, like, once a week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I feel like it taught high schoolers how to talk at a certain, like, mm-hmm. I come from Kingston, so it's like small town that like everyone looked at this movie and were like, I'm gonna talk like them now, because we didn't have that vernacular.
Yeah, like whatever, as if.
Yeah, for sure.
What are some other ones? I don't know. I just watched it.
They actually did release a book which had like a cluelessology, like a vocabulary of the terms that the clueless would use.
Right.
The clueless.
It sounds like
we are the clueless.
It sounds like a zombie horde or something. The clueless are coming.
But they obviously did play up a lot of the lingo in the movie, and also the same with the fashion. Like in this movie was also very influential in the way in showing how like teens talked about fashion and used fashion as a mode of expression. But Amy Heckerling has said since, even though this movie became like such an important focal point for fashion, on most days of the week, even the super rich Beverly Hills kids looked as frumpy as any other kid in high school.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many teen stars, and they all look so good and fashionable. And you're like, how do you do that? Because teenagers are all gangly and weird. You have acne, and it's awful.
You don't know what to do with your hair. It's too dry or too greasy. Like, you don't know what shampoo to use yet.
Yeah.
Well, she has that, like, that it's such a – I remembered this being a bigger part of the movie than it was, that, like, computer program that shows her different outfits. I was obsessed with the idea of that as a kid. I wanted one so badly.
You didn't have one?
No. It was not – computers were not a thing that worked that well yet. I did try, because later on, then they take Polaroids of her in different outfits because she doesn't trust mirrors.
No,
I did try to make
Vampire.
That happen. Another reason this is a tie-in with Anne Rice novels. Another trivia for you. But yeah, I remember like being like, okay, I cannot create a computer program that has all my clothes in it, but I can get a Polaroid camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked for one for that Christmas. The film is very expensive for
Polaroid
cameras. So as a means of like dressing myself each morning, was not feasible, as it turns out. And also, I didn't have like hobbies or friends at 10, so it was just a lot of photos of like my room. And right. like early selfies, most of which you realize once they came out that were blurry or off center, your finger was in it. So right. very expensive way to find out you're bad at selfies.
You described yourself as like a goth 10-year-old, but yes. like what was your like clique in high school? Like where were you?
In high school, I don't know. My high school didn't super – like there was groups of friends, yeah. but I was mostly friends with a bunch of real – like really straight-edge kids who were mildly religious even though I was not. I think it was just sort of yeah. they were the ones who would have me.
right.
They were like, sweet. It is part of our Christian duty to befriend this poor girl.
Try to save her
yeah.
baby yeah. goth soul.
Yeah,
you were the Brittany Murphy. They were
exactly.
trying to like put you on the right path.
Really try to teach her what shampoo to use. And also was in the anime club. May have co-founded it. And those were sort of my groups and like the kind of AV club kids okay, yeah, as yeah, well.
Right.
So sort of those were the circles that I floated in and just the kind of just greasy, gross.
well, teenager.
Yeah.
How can you avoid it?
Yeah.
What about you, Rob? Were you like, were you all gothy metalhead kid?
No. I mean, I was an individual with my own personality, Blaine. I don't know about you.
Being such umbrage.
Maybe you just followed the pack like some sort of conformist. I mean, I hung out with people, I guess. I don't know. I fancied.
Being so nondescript.
I fancied at the time that we were like, you know, the people who didn't belong to any groups. We were the outcasts and misfits.
Right. So you were that group. okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, I just hung out with a bunch of random people who didn't fit in anywhere else.
Yeah. The ones who would have you.
yeah. Some of them were mildly religious as well.
it is their Christian duty.
there was a whole bunch of alternate casting that could have happened for this movie, though Alicia Silverstone apparently didn't even have to audition for the role.
They saw enough music videos.
yeah, the Aerosmith video.
I wonder, like, that can mean so many things. Like, did that mean they saw her in another movie and were like, she's good, or they just met her on the street and were like, oh, yeah, she is this character.
Right.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, they probably just saw her on something else and gave her the role, but I couldn't find any specific information. I do know that they did interview and audition other people for all of the roles. Like, I know that they talked to people like Angelina Jolie and Reese Witherspoon they wanted to have as Cher, but they made her audition.
Wow, rude.
Yeah, right.
If I was Reese Witherspoon.
See, she seems like she'd be able to talk her way into not having to audition.
Well, she does kind of play like the spiritual successor to Cher in Legally Blonde, right?
Yeah.
That like, is who Cher would have grown up.
Yeah, because she's like with this lawyer guy. She would have been lawyer. I don't know. I
Somebody
like
should sell
out.
That if this was still DVD box set days, sell like Legally Blonde and Clueless together. And they're like,
definitely.
You don't think from the marketing, but surprisingly intelligent.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I would find in like that $3 bin at Shoppers Drug Mart or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's where you'd find
Yeah.
They also wanted to get for Dion, Lauryn Hill, which would have been pretty good if she showed up to set.
I cannot imagine her agreeing to be in this film.
But wasn't she in Sister Act 2?
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
somehow that makes more sense, and I can't explain why.
Well, you
just
do it
like
for
in
Whoopi.
My heart. Yeah. You do it. Whoopi tells you to be
you
to
do
show
it all
up
for the
on
Whoopi,
set.
Man.
Yeah. You show up.
And they also wanted to get Dave Chappelle for the what's his face?
Donald Faison?
Murray.
Donald Faison, yeah. Murray. Yeah.
Yeah. That could have worked.
It could have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Oh, there was a TV series. Did you watch the TV series, Grace?
It was not good.
Oh.
Yes, I did. That is how far my love for all tie-ins merchandise went. It was I just feel like this is one of those movies that her arc is so complete at the end that like it makes no sense to follow up, because it's sort of like you kind of have to go to back to like mid-movie Cher, who has not learned her lesson.
Right.
Was she still with like Paul Rudd in the TV show?
But I don't think it was they didn't keep much of the cast.
No,
I think Donald Faison and the one whoever played Amber and maybe Stacey Dash was in it.
Right.
But I don't think anyone else was.
And Wallace Shawn.
But it was a different, like the guy who played the dad was different.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the opening credits, it was very like the turn to the camera and kind of smile credits. And he was the first sort of like one where it the actor just looked nothing like.
Right,
right.
That guy, imposter. You're like, who the fuck is this piece of shit? Where's Dan Hedaya?
That's it, Carlos!
Yeah, and they didn't have Alicia. So, like, it really actually did make you realize how integral she is to making this character work.
Right. Yeah.
The actress who played her was, like, good, but just, I don't know, it was bad.
Did
it
she
was
do, good. Like, an Alicia Silverstone impression?
I think she kind of did. Like, it's – she just sort of did the Valley Girl, but I think without any of the kind of intelligence behind it.
Right.
I think that's such a great thing about this movie is you always know that she's smart. She just doesn't – like, she just doesn't know a lot yet because she's young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas I think they lost that part in the TV show, and there was, like, a lot of – it was very, like, getting into kind of Valley Girl trouble of the week and then, like, learning to be yourself – at the end of it. Like, I remember one episode where she got a haircut that was bad.
Whoa.
And it wasn't bad, though. Like, it was a fine haircut. Okay. It was just like, so it was like, it was a very stressful episode.
Were there bangs involved?
There were bangs involved.
Oh, okay. This sounds bad.
Yeah. And also, I think there was like a lot of episodes about her still trying to decide whether to lose her virginity or not.
Right.
And not handling it, again, as sensitively as the movie did. Like, it was a bad scene. But I guess Amy Heckerling wrote on it.
Yeah, she wrote and directed several episodes, at least the pilot and a few more in the first season. But I think that she her hands were off it pretty quickly.
Yeah, she saw an episode of it. I was like, oh, no.
What have I done? Was there a second season?
I was the clueless one. There was a second season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they replaced the dad in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's where it petered off from. Mm. Did you guys hear that? Okay, before I get into that, do you guys know about the musical?
No.
I do not.
Grace, there was a Clueless musical. Go back in time. Tell 10-year-old Grace. And then take the time machine to a very specific 1 month period where the Clueless musical was playing on Broadway.
Or to 6 months before that and stop them from making it. Because I'm assuming if it only played for 1 month, it was not good.
Yeah, it was sort of not super well received.
When was that? Like, when?
I'm not sure. But it was a jukebox musical. Amy Heckerling was involved. She wrote and did some other stuff.
Was it all just ska music?
It was
going on.
I'm sure there was some ska music. But
is there a ska jukebox musical is now what I want to know. Does this exist?
The impression that I get. The ska musical. The weird thing about it is...
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Because you're talking about it with authority.
I have authority because I read the Wikipedia
page.
Okay.
In it?
Wait a minute.
I played Murray.
It was not received well.
No. Amy Heckerling rewrote the lyrics to a bunch of the songs so that, you know, like they used songs that were on the soundtrack, like Kids in America and other things like that. Okay. But then she would write new lyrics that would reflect, I guess, the circumstance of the movies. So I don't know. I guess maybe there's some verses of Rolling with My Homies that relates to how much she
loves just a recipe
Elton.
For disaster. That's so great.
But, you know, I trust Amy Heckerling to...
I trusted her before Clueless, the TV show. She broke that trust. I want to see this so badly, and yet I feel like it would be really cringy to sit through. Like, they rewrote the lyrics.
That's such a bad thing to do.
Yeah, it seems like bad mojo.
Yeah. But yeah, the reason I ask when it came out, because it sounds like that's not what they do when they make a movie into a musical now.
No.
Because it doesn't sound like now they would just write an original music for it, and it still won't be good, but it won't be that monstrosity. That
I can't wait until I'm going to go home and listen to that today. God.
So it was only – it was last year. It was December 2018, and it was the new group who put it on.
Then there's no excuse for that decision.
No. It seems like, a massive misstep. But bad musicals, like as we've learned from the Carrie musical, they can find their second act if you throw in a drag queen or something.
And then they'll be produced forever at University Community Theater.
Exactly.
That sounds like an idea that like a sketch troupe would come up with and perform for 17 people one time. That's what that sounds like.
It sounds funny enough to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like not a thing that a person would be like, I'm going to go get investors. this?
Yeah. But like, yeah, did it, I'm so curious if it like took itself seriously or was trying to undercut itself while doing this. Like,
I think it probably took itself pretty seriously. Oh. The reviews say that it didn't find a way to step out of the shadow of the movie the way that other musical adaptations
just
have.
Just see the reviews write themselves. Like, Clueless, comma, yup. Or like, you know, just...
They just write themselves.
Yeah, it's tough to do an adaptation of a movie called Clueless because you're just like, oh man, I really hope they don't use this title against me in the reviews. Well, time to change the lyrics to this ska song.
But there are a couple other remakes and reboots coming down the pipeline.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. There is a...
Leave him alone, Amy.
There is a dramatic TV show. This was just announced last month. CBS will be adapting it into a sort of gritty drama series that centers around Dion after Cher goes missing. And it's described... Hold on, Grace. It's described as a baby pink and bisexual blue-tinted, tiny sunglass-wearing, oat milk latte and Adderall-fueled look at what happens when the high school queen bee Cher disappears and her lifelong friend has to step into those.
This is just Riverdale.
You know,
this is
I was going to say, Jordans. You know what would have taken less words is the Heather's adaptation meets the Riverdale adaptation.
But then you couldn't say baby pink and bisexual blue. Bisexual is that a color?
And then I was like, are you describing... And I was like, where is the sentence going? I want...
Bisexual blue. It's also then, pink. It's crazy. It's a great color.
Oat milk is involved.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to apologize to Amy Heckerling for my saying I don't trust her a moment ago. Because clearly from all of this, I can only determine she is in dark financial trouble. And Hollywood is not kind to female directors.
Yeah.
And I can only assume these are cries for help.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe this is an opportunity to talk about the weird Chris Kattan thing. Did you guys hear about that?
I think you told me about it.
I did tell you about that.
And it was unbelievable.
It's so crazy. So apparently, this was a story that was going around a little while ago. Amy Heckerling was...
And our podcast purpose is to spread gossip.
I think we've established that this is a tea-spilling podcast.
Well, Chris Kattan said that while he was making... what's that movie where he goes...
Night at the Roxbury.
what happened to the other guy in that? Anyway.
He's producing some show called Succession.
Initially, they wanted Amy Heckerling to direct Night at the Roxbury. And apparently... At one point, Lorne Michaels called Chris Kattan and said that, hey, Amy Heckerling really wants to direct... she's kind of vaguely interested, but she's more interested in you, Chris Kattan. So maybe if you have sex with Amy Heckerling, then she will direct your movie. And then apparently something like that did happen.
No, really? I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
He
went for it. And then she didn't end up directing the movie, but she did executive produce it.
Okay.
So it worked like a little. So he was like medium good at sex is what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't directing good, but he was executive producing.
So many parts of that story break long-held assumptions I have of those people.
Yeah.
Of like, all those people involved.
90s Hollywood was a train wreck.
Yeah. And apparently, like, Amy Heckerling hasn't commented, but Amy Heckerling's daughter has said that Kattan's sort of version of it isn't true and that while they did have an affair during the filming of that movie – it wasn't tied to any sort of, like, quid pro quo.
Okay.
And Amy Heckerling's daughter looks so much like Chris Kattan.
Well, no, because...
Like, what?
No.
The girl Chris Kattan over here.
Blaine, she doesn't look like Chris Kattan because she looks like Harold Ramis. Who is the person that she found out was her dad sometime into her life.
You know, I'm so glad that my parents are not involved in Hollywood in any way. So I never have to make public statements about affairs they may or may not
have. Or like poor Sarah Pauly, who had to make a full documentary about it.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that one?
No.
Not yet.
Well,
yeah.
It's very moving. Okay. But yeah, that's a bit sketchy. Also, they're going to make a remake of Clueless the film, but Donald Faison has said that is a bad idea. He says, if you don't have Amy Heckling involved, it doesn't make any sense. If you're remaking Clueless because you're trying to make a stand, guess what? It's already been made. You can't recast Alicia Silverstone. You can recast Paul Rudd. Because he looks he's the same. Okay.
Hey, Zach Braff, it's me, Donald. It's Donald again. Sorry to leave another message. You wouldn't believe what they're trying to remake. I'm a fan.
And that is Clueless. So, Grace, this was your favorite movie when you were 10 years old. How did it feel rewatching it this time?
Great. It really holds up, I think.
Yeah?
And I actually think that it benefits from a rewatching, which you cannot say about a lot of movies from 1995,
for sure.
Because there's like a way you understand it when you are the same age or younger than Cher. Because you're really like you're following her perspective the whole movie, and then there's an entirely different way you understand it when you are an adult. I feel like you have a lot more sympathy for the teachers. You get all of the like kind of subtle jokes about the like faux pas and mistakes that she's making,
right?
And I understand what all those bongs are now. the little honey bear.
Oh yeah, I love that one.
So I think it's like actually one of the few movies that you can like watch as a like teenager, love, and then watch as an adult and be like, no, this is great and like benefits from rewatching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's like layers to the jokes, and there's also layers to like the visual jokes, like the maid who is afraid of the dad.
Oh my God.
Like she's so afraid of him. And then at one scene, they don't hang anything on it. It's just there. She's in the background and you can kind of see her stomach beyond the door and she's hiding. She's hiding there the entire scene. And you only know if you look really close that she's there. There's so many little jokes like that throughout the movie. So I think it's a hugely rewatchable movie for that reason, because you can find those jokes in there that you never realized before. Even if you watched it for the first time as a male adult.
Hypothetically.
I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
Male adult.
What about you, Rob? Do you think this is rewatchable?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think pleasantly surprised, because I thought it would be pretty good. But I feel like it held up in different ways than I thought it would. Like, I feel like it feels like it is an intelligently written movie. It's very funny from an adult perspective. I also think that, like, when you're sort of that age or younger than that age, you're sort of mystified by cool teens.
Yes.
And so like so much of it is like, I want to be this person, or like, I don't like this person because he's not like this person.
Right.
And, you know, now as an adult, you can really see the whole like picture and see like the sort of satire for what it is. And I really like that the movie is about like, it's about a rich kid. It's kind of like about an airheaded blonde girl, but it undercuts all of those tropes and stereotypes and like really shows a story of like somebody who is, you know, trying to like develop and become like a good person.
Yeah, it really comes down on like kind of figuring out who you are and liking what you like and being true to your identity and trying to be a good person. Like it's kind of a lovely and not too hitting you over the head with it.
Yeah.
Message. But I also, that's a good point of like when you watch it when you're like her age or younger, like as a 10-year-old, you're like, oh, well, I guess that's what I'm gonna be like in 5 years. Can't wait. And then you get to 16, you're like, oh no, I didn't.
I'm not Cher.
No, I'm still so greasy.
Why didn't I turn into Alicia Silverstone?
We all thought we were going to, only one of us did, and it was Alicia Silverstone.
And that's Rewatchability for this week. Grace, thanks for coming on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It was great to have you.
This was fun.
Where can people find you out there?
They can find me on YouTube with Things with Cats, and on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Grace Ectomy. So GRACECTOMY. Like an ectomy, like you're removing me, but you're adding me. I was too clever when I thought of it, and now I have to spell it for everyone.
You can change them.
I already have the joke about it. I used to write another one.
And we're Rewatchability. You can find us on Facebook at Rewatchability, Twitter at Rewatchability. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or Podbean or any of those places that you can listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And also rate us and leave a review, because that helps other people find the podcast. And you can go to patreon.com and donate a little bit of money.
Use your dad's credit card.
Or Dan Hedaya's credit card.
He's going to yell at you.
You can also buy a t-shirt from Tee Public. And if you can't support us that way, just tell a friend about us when you're talking about podcasts that you listen to. And if you have a movie that you want us to watch, you can go to rewatchability.com, go to the SpeakPipe, record a little message, and we will talk about that movie. Until next week,
just
get a clue.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.